section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Find out who touched my radio and turned on this pop country bullshit, I'm going to break some fingers, especially when I had the greatest podcast in the world on the CD player, It Burns When I Pee. All right, guys and gals, y'all have a good day, and remember, Dale Jr.'s a fag.
Burns, 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 when I pee, when I pee.
Dude, it's like Rob Zombie meets country fucking family music.
Life away. They may say I was wrong. till my death, my last breath, I swear she was one. Held my heart till I did part. She's my only one.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 44 of It Burns When I Pee, titled Riding the Short Bus. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and I have with us a special co-host tonight, Joey Fuckup from Cheap Beer and Barbecue Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, and believe it or not, I'm sober.
Oh, my God. This is definitely, I'm glad we're getting this on audio for to record this in history, that you're doing radio sober for once.
Once. I drank enough last night, so
You're taking a Sunday off.
I usually don't. I usually don't, but no, I was taping show 7 last night and put away about, I guess, 8 Country Club malt liquors last night.
Awesome.
Yes.
We'll just go ahead and get out of the way early here. Where can folks go to check out Cheap Beer and Barbecue Radio?
I've got a website up, and it's, of course, www.cheapbeerbbqradio.weebly.com, and it's Weebly spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y, which is really a cool place to go and get a free website put up. So anybody can do it, and, you know, that's probably I'd say that's the best way to come across me. I mean, I've got a MySpace page for that, but, geez, MySpace is just...
dead.
There's nothing going on there really anymore. So, but the website's, I have a lot of fun with it, and it's more than just somebody, you know, you just go there and just listen to the show. You can see all kinds of things, you know, history of beer and barbecue and just, you know, southern culture and roadside attractions and things like that. So when people go, you know, they'll get a little bit more out of it than just what I played on the last show.
Awesome. Well, what song did we just get done hearing at the beginning of the show there, Joey?
Oh, wow. That was She's My Only One, Rubber Knife Gang, off that album, Driving On.
Yeah, that's their new album, and they sent it to us. And you gotta like a safe band like the Rubber Knife Gang. You know, that's a gang I want to fight. I want to fight the guys with the rubber knives.
Or the rubbers and the knives.
Oh, that could be it. There could be a comma that I just didn't put in there. It could be the Rubber and the Knife Gang.
Right.
If you're gonna rape somebody, it's always good to do it with protection. Ouch. All right, so thanks again to the Rubber Knife Gang for sending us their new CD, Driving On. Definitely check it out. We'll have show notes linked up. We'll have a show link up on the notes for the show. I'll kind of go what we're going to do, what we're going through tonight. We got music by the Rubber Knife Gang, which we just heard, U.S. Bombs, The Perez Farm, and Red Eye Junction, Slack Eyed Slim, Joseph and the George Jonestown Massacre, and then Van Halen, of course. We're going to rock them out. I did an interview with Slack Eyed Slim and Joe Perez when they were here at Pekin, getting ready to do their release their new album together. And I thought since school's starting, it would be a good idea to tell some stories about our school days. And Joey, I'm hoping that you've got a couple that you can probably tell us later on too, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
good. And then we're going to have the IBWIP birthday announcements and anniversaries. And we have a special Cocker's Travel update. We're actually going to call Nicole and BJ. And I think we're actually going to be high-tech and do it on Skype here. And we're going to find out how they did with Cocker when he was there. We'll have the contact information and some... Joey, you're going to read the fan feedback later. That's awesome.
I'm stoked. This is awesome. It's awesome being on here. I really appreciate it.
It's cool. I appreciate you sliding in at the last minute. I called you about 3 hours ago and said, hey, why don't you help me? And you were like, oh, yeah, sure. So that's kind of what we're doing. And so for the first segment, I figured I'd let you start off the storytelling. You know, what is something you know, when you were in school, a story that really kind of sticks out that, you know, you'll always remember?
Well, I used to date this redhead in, when I was a senior in high school.
Did the carpet match the drapes?
It definitely did that night.
I don't know if that's good or bad. If it was only that one night. Go ahead.
Well, no, she was a girl that I worked with. I used to work in this grocery store my senior year in high school. And like I said, she was kind of one of those girls I considered out of my league. And lo and behold, we hit it off. We started dating a little bit. So a buddy of mine was having a party at his brother's house. And wasn't too far from this park. But anyway, the house was really cool. It was kind of like a one-room little building. Kind of, I don't know what you would call them. It's like a caretaker's little house or something. But all you had was one big room and then a bathroom. And we, his brother, of course, was older and threw one hell of a party. I mean, it was one of those, like you see in music videos, where it's just like wall-to-wall people, music's playing, and everybody's just having a blast, drinking
and
everything.
The kind of stories, the kind of parties I never get invited to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So we, me and this girl decided to leave for a little bit, and I take her down to this park that I was talking about earlier. And at the time, my first car was a 67 Plymouth Valiant. It was a car that I paid with $400, my own money that I saved up with. And so we, you know, the cool thing about those cars is they have bench seats, front and back.
Right.
So, you know, we decided to go and get in the back seat, and, you know, we're making out and everything. So it was my big night with her, so clothes started coming off, and, you know, we were having a pretty good old time. And it was, you know, just to be right, just frank about it, she got really, really wet. I mean, just like really wet. And I thought, wow, this is, yeah.
You're like, I'm the man.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a stud, you know. So the deed's finished. I'm kind of just sitting there. And she reaches into her pocketbook. And she pulls out a maxi pad. And slaps it on right there in front of me. And I was like, what just happened? She's like, well, I started my period. I'm like, oh, okay. So I get my clothes back on. We go back to the party. Well, she's out in the car, and I walk into the house, and it was one of those scenes where the music stopped, everybody looked, and everything got really quiet. And I'm like, what's the deal? And I looked down, and both of my hands were caked in blood. It was up underneath my fingernails, everything. It was on the white T-shirt I had. It looked like I had just slaughtered somebody outside and just came in, had blood all over me. And so the next day, you know, I'm out there trying to wipe up the blood stains out of the blood and cum stains out of the back seat. It never came up. But everybody seemed to remember that party because they thought literally I had you know, killed somebody.
Right. It was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets Superbad, you know.
But this chick went into full full on period mode. It was just like a damn fucking landmine going off on my car.
How long did you date her after that?
We dated on and off.
Just once a month?
Well, she was one of those that didn't like to be settled down with one guy. And I hooked up with her my senior week trip to Myrtle Beach. And damn it if she didn't give me crabs when I was down there.
Man, that girl's bad news.
It was written all over. You know, it was written all over. You know, so it's. I don't see her anymore.
Yeah. So you could be called Slaughter Joey.
That was just another one of my misadventures, which I still seem to still get into. Not ventures my back seat, but just.
Right, you have a house now, so, you know, you got an apartment, so you can, like, you know, you can invite them over now as opposed to, you know, ruining the upholstery on your car.
Right. Well, I'm married now, so it's, you know, it's not like I'm going to be having hoes coming in the back door.
Honey, it's time for you to go to bed. I got hoes coming in the back door.
That's right.
You know, because podcasters get all kinds of chicks.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, God, they're at my mom's door just knocking all the time, like, where's Blake? And she's like, hey, ladies.
Hey, I am the king of nocturnal emissions, brother. I get laid more in my sleep than I do in regular life, so.
Rock on. Oh, well, that is definitely a good school story to start off. we're going to go ahead and take out a song here, and we're going to let Joey intro the song, and we'll be back, and I think I'll tell a story.
Awesome.
All right, so what's the song we got coming up next?
We got Walk Away from Red Eye Junction off their new album, Better Days.
Look at me playing all this new music. That's awesome.
It
all
is.
Right, we'll be right back, folks. We're right for this.
We try and try.
Bubba and Mr. Bubba, this is Jeff Albertson calling from Android's Dungeon and Baseball Card Shop. I am calling your reference to episode number 43. Remember that one time. Although your embarrassing tales were entertaining, you failed to do to yourselves what you did to the Amish and the Canadians. You put the Canadians and the Amish into a stereotype where you exploited every part of them that is either Canadian or Amish. I just wanted to take a moment to point out that mere technicality on your part. I enjoyed the story about the yellow citation, but I am disappointed that you did not drive it to my baseball card shop. Next time you are in need, stop by. I have many baseball cards. However, I will not give you a discount, and you are not allowed to touch anything unless you purchase it. Finally, a little old dirty bastard history. He was known as ODB, not D.O.B. He was a member of the Wu-Tang Clan. First name, Russell Tyrone Jones. Born 11-15-1968. Died 11-13-2004. You're correct. He is dead. He is not in jail. Nor did he die in jail. Nor did he get shot. He died of a drug overdose from a deadly mixture of cocaine and tramadol. Now I must get back to work. As a customer who wants to purchase a first edition Itchy and Scratchy lunchbox, keep up the good work on the show. Good day.
When I start my day tomorrow, you know what I'm gonna do? Well, I'm gonna burn one down. When I get home in the evening, know what I'm gonna do? Well, I'm gonna. Every time I burn one, you know it makes me feel right. When
welcome back to It Burns When I Pee, episode 44. I love saying that. It Burns When I Pee. That was just the perfect name you came up with for this show.
Why, thank you, kind sir.
But that was Burn On Down from Josephus and the George Jonestown Massacre off their new album, Hell or High Water, who is actually, they're going to be playing Trash-O-Rama coming up in March down in Charlotte, the Tremont Music Hall.
Cool. I've actually had that CD, the new one, for a little while now, and I hadn't gotten around to checking it out, and I'm glad I did. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I played those guys quite a while back too. So it's good. It's good to see bands that are bringing their music to me, you know, when they have a new one coming out.
Yes.
So I guess what we should do is wish Encyclopedia Billy and his wife a happy anniversary on August 23rd. I don't know how long they've been married. How long have you been married? That's never good to start out the answering the question by
14 years, I think.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. So congratulations to Billy and Mama. And
absolutely.
We just got done posting. I did 2 days ago. I think I posted the pictures when Cocker went and visited Billy and his wife. And his wife and Cocker went to bed together. So, and they were in the pool together. So I think Billy's got some competition.
Oh, wow. Does she take him in there when she uses the bathroom too?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I only saw a picture of a bottle of vodka and then Cocker in bed with her. The next picture, they didn't send me. So I don't know what the end result was. But it's pretty cool to see people, you know, still married. And I think, hey, more power to them. I don't know. So you want to hear a school story of mine?
Yeah, man. Go for it.
Well, I figured I got two of them, so we'll do one here. Okay. So I was in, I'd say first grade, and I used to walk to school. You know, I didn't walk that far, but I did have three blocks. And, first grade, just put that into context real quick, because it's going to make this more even more disturbing. And I think this is where I found my initial fetish. But I was going; it was wintertime, and so there was snow on the ground. But I remember we were walking to school, and there was a pile of there was this big pile, and you could see that it was magazines or something. And when I'm talking about a pile, I'm not talking six or seven. You know, I'm talking a pile of 30 magazines, just out here, on the corner of this lot. You know what I mean? It wasn't next to the trash or anything. It was just in the middle, in the middle of the yard, kind of. So I walked over there, and unbeknownst to me at the time, it was just a stack of pornos. I mean, wow. And they weren't like Playboys. They were like Hustler and Cherry Bomb, and
junk in the trunk type.
Right.
Things.
I mean, it was. I mean, if you opened it up, you would definitely see more than you needed to know. There was no airbrushing back then,
Right.
About 30 years, 29 years ago. So there wasn't, airbrushing wasn't invented yet. It was me and this other kid. We were walking from the babysitter's house to school. And I remember putting some of them in my bag. And I can't really even remember why. You know what I mean? But, and so I went to school and we had, we didn't have lockers with doors on them. We had the long cubbies, it was lockers with no doors.
Gotcha, yeah.
And I don't really remember how it happened, but somebody told, I guess I was showing them off or something. And so I got busted for having pornos, and I was in first grade. And I'm not making this up. So at the time, my mom was, working, so the guy that lived with us at the time, she called him to come and get me from school. So he walks in and, picks me, because for some reason they made me go home that day, which I don't understand. I mean, what's a first grader really going to know? You know what I mean? But
right.
I would think that you would be like, okay, he didn't know what's going on. Let's let him finish his day of coloring and, but no. So I remember he picked me up and we were driving home and I had no idea what was going on. And he's like, well, you're not supposed to have those kind of magazines. And I'm like, well, then they shouldn't have been laying out there in the yard. So I guess that was my first initial, taste of porn and I just never looked back after first grade.
Wow.
So I can honestly, people say, did you ever get suspended from school? I was like, well, yeah. man, my first suspension was in first grade. And they're like, what'd you do? I'm like, porn hose.
Oh, wow.
It was, you know, did you ever get busted with pornos at school?
No. Nope, sure didn't. I never got in trouble for it. Matter of fact, when I was in high school, one of my presents from mom and dad was a subscription to Playboy, actually.
Nice.
So my parents were pretty cool about that kind of shit. So
you had cool roommates.
Yes, they were roommates. It was a motherfucker sneaking in my house at night, though, because we lived in this old house, and we lived in the bottom apartment, but I had to go through their bedroom to get into my bedroom.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That makes it almost impossible. I think they kind of did that on purpose.
I don't know, but it was a real bitch sometimes coming in there, especially drunk, knocking shit over, and you always end up waking them up anyway. So,
do you remember like what grade you were in when you first really got into trouble at school? Whether it would be like for fighting or goofing off, or do you know like the earliest you got in trouble at school?
It might have been first or second grade, or no, I think it was kindergarten. Yeah, it was kindergarten, and I didn't know what the term "slap me a five" or you know, whatever. I didn't know what that meant. Some kids kept telling me "slap me five, slap me five." So I just balled up my fist and punched him in the eye.
Nice.
And I got in trouble for that.
Nice.
But for the most part, I kept my nose clean as a whistle throughout school. I did not give the teachers a hard time. I mean, I might, you know, when I was in high school, me and some friends would sneak up in the woods up behind the high school and go up there and, you know, smoke a joint or something. But I just never really got in trouble. You know, my grades might suffer for this, that, or another. But, nah, I pretty much... kept it clean.
Nice.
Yeah.
I
did all my hell raising outside of school.
There you go. I was kind of the same way, except, you know, porn. So. All right. Well, that was a quick little story. Joey, I'm digging you being on the show, man. It's pretty cool.
This is awesome. I'm actually, I'm not masturbating, but I'm touching myself. This is awesome.
Nice. Our good friend Paul from Scotland, who writes into the show a lot. I was IMing him today. We were on Gmail, you know, the instant messenger on Gmail.
Okay.
And he said, "You want to hear something creepy?" I'm like, "I always like to hear stuff that's creepy." And he's like, "Right now, he got a new droid, cell phone." A droid,
yeah.
And it had a Gmail, the Gmail IM account kind of application. So he was IMing me from the shitter. And I was like, that is cool. Did you ever think like when you know that like when you got your first cell phone that like was like huge and you did you ever think that you would be able to like talk to people across the world on your phone and take pictures and video?
No.
Do you remember the first cell phone that you had like that was yours?
Yeah, I think it was only like 2 years ago.
Oh.
I was really behind on the technology boat on that one.
So I just
didn't want one. I didn't want one.
I recently, my grandma turned 79 years old, and for her birthday, my dad got her a cell phone.
Oh.
And she was amazed that you could take pictures with a phone. Just goes to show you modern technology.
I still think it would be more fun if we went back to the days of CB radios.
Right.
Base stations in everyone's houses, and
we could have the creepy child molester vans that had the big huge antenna.
That's right. Yeah,
that like barely goes underneath the overpass. Like every time you see one, you're like, it's not gonna make it, and then like by 2 inches, it makes it go underneath the overpass.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I used to keep a CB radio in one of my other cars, not you know a few years back, and not because I talked on it, because I loved hearing people talking to each other over this thing, and you just hear the craziest shit. It was just amazing. You get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, go out to your car and turn it on, and there was, you know, usually people fucking just raising hell about this, that, or another, or you'd hear, you know, some guy trying to schedule a rendezvous with some chick and all that. But
nice.
Once cell phones really took off here where I live, the CB radio died, so I finally disconnected mine and put it off on the shelf.
Oh. You should bring it back for like, just go old school.
I thought it would be neat if I could record a show through a CB.
Yeah, Or you know what you could do is you could just set it all up and like just like set the mic and everything up in your car and just like record people talking, because that's like a redneck podcast. It's like the CB. You know what I mean? That's like they were podcasting 20, 30 years ago. You know, Breaker 1-9.
That's true.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into some more music and an interview, and I'll let you have honors here, sir.
Slack Eye Slim, Joe Perez with a song called Love.
Yeah, and this is Slack Eye Slim. Like I said, been a good friend of mine for 3 years now. I finally got to meet him. He was in Pekin not too long ago, and I saw him and Joe play, and they have this album that's coming out that it's kind of, you know, split between them. Each one of them has three songs on it. So we're going to play a song called Love by Slack Eye Slim, and then on the other side of it, we'll be playing Brother's Keeper by the Perez Farm. So we'll be right back. And Joey, I'm so proud of you. You haven't drank in 37 minutes. You're doing a great job.
It's been longer than that, actually.
Okay. We'll be right back. Third time's a charm. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of It Burns When I Pee. And we have with us here at the Bottoms Up in Pekin, Illinois, Slack Eyed Slim and Joe Perez from the Perez Farm. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. All right.
So you guys are on tour. You just started out. How many dates are you guys playing?
We're doing a total of 14. We just started on Friday. And then so we played in a couple shows. We played in Quincy, Illinois, just like a house show because we couldn't get anything booked. It was real last minute. There was a lot of problems with venues and stuff. Walk the Plank Productions really like kind of stepped up and tried to help us out. There's a lot of stuff going on that was out of his control. So we played three kind of not so great shows over there, and now we're here. So we're kind of starting the real tour that's been booked for 2 months now, hoping for a little bit better turnout.
Yeah, they actually have posters up at at this venue, so it's actually feeling like a real show.
Kind of helpful to have the posters up. So you guys are kind of touring kind of to promote a new project by you guys.
Yeah, we're doing a split EP on Farmageddon Records. It was supposed to be out in time for the tour, but there's all the problems with the gallows and Uriah and Quentin going to jail, so everything kind of got pushed to the back burner. So we're not really sure when it's going to come out. We're still playing the songs from it, but that's basically where it is right now. We're just kind of waiting to hear back from Farmageddon and see what Darren's up to and when he can get it out. But it's still going to be coming out. We just don't have an exact date yet.
And so you guys are just kind of splitting the CD space on there? Or?
Yeah, we've each got three songs on it. I can't remember. One of mine is a reissue or a remake of a song on Texas Horror Pleaser. Kind of did it a little bit better, like the way I would have done it if I had been playing guitar more than 3 weeks when I recorded the first one. And then the two other songs are unreleased. So.
And how about you, Joe?
Yeah, all of mine are all just three brand new tracks. I actually have another album that I plan on putting out this next spring, and I just pretty much just took what I knew wasn't going to be on that album. So,
awesome. Well, I mean, where have you been hiding? I mean, it's been a couple years since.
Well, I moved out to Montana. The idea when I moved to Montana was I was going to write a whole bunch of songs. You know, I wrote all these like crazy songs about stuff, and I thought that if I lived in Anaconda, Montana, which is actually where I met Joe out there, I thought that I'd be able to write all these songs and it would be awesome. And what happened is I just turned into a drunk, pretty much. So I hung out at the Harp and Thistle in Anaconda a lot.
Because there's nothing else to do out there.
Pretty much. It's really easy just because booze is cheap and it's cold. And so I live in Wisconsin now, basically. We're about 80 miles west of Madison in the middle of nowhere. I live in a log cabin. So.
Cool. And you guys both moved over there? Or?
No. I'm still out in Montana. So I'm just, doing my thing out there. It's, like you were saying, it's really hard to get kind of stuck in a rut in that town, but I don't know. We're starting to get a little bit busier now, so.
Sure, and then being on the road, I think, also helps kind of the creative spirit a little
definitely,
bit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a town every day watching the same people do the same things.
Well, and I was working, I had a full-time job at a radio station. Actually, I was a country radio DJ. On his AM country station, and not having to work really, like, it just stands in your way. You know, when you got a full-time job, you can't do anything. And the fact now that I've got nothing coming in, like, nobody's going to pay me anything, really kicks you in the ass. Like, all right, I got to get some shit done.
Right.
And you got the time you need to do it, so.
Exactly. So why don't you kind of tell us what we're going to be hearing on the new album? I mean, from each of you, each take a turn, just kind of in general. We just got done listening to a song called Love by you, Slack Eyed, and it's going to be on the new album. Just, I mean, the three songs that you're putting out there, what can people expect compared to, the Texas Horror Pleaser?
Well, for my side of it, the recording was definitely a lot better. I don't want to get away from the lo-fi stuff because everybody really seemed to like that a lot, but I wanted to do a little bit better. Like, I want to make it sound like I actually knew what the hell I'm doing. And so we recorded, I hijacked a couple really nice reel-to-reel tape machines and recorded everything on that. We mixed down to that. One song is like I said, it's Don't Touch My Horse, which is on Texas Horror Pleaser, but I did it a lot differently, and everybody who's heard it has really, really liked that version.
Right, and we played that on the last episode, and we've actually had some people say, hey,
We're just kind of, what I'm trying to do is just trying to do things how I wish I would have done them on the first album, because I was just, I was a 22-year-old kid, I don't know what the hell I was doing. Yeah, just kind of remaking things a little bit that way. A song called Love is obviously it's a little bit Russian sounding. I've kind of got a lot of world music influence, like Red Army Choir. I've been listening to a lot of that. It's really bizarre. Just get shit faced and turn off the lights and put up. And the song, there's another song that's going to be on it. It's a lot different than anything I've ever done. It's more of like a, I don't want to say folk or like singer songwriter, but it's a lot more personal than anything I've ever done before. But yeah,
cool. And how about you? I mean, Joe, what? Kind of the premise of the three songs you have on there?
The three that I did are, it's just basically kind of summarizing, you only get three songs to put out there, so you kind of want to cover all that you have to offer. One of them's really just more on the Appalachian, folk side, kind of more along the lines of Dog Bogs or anything like that. And then another one's more on the progressive rock side, which I know is really funny to hear in the whole, quote-unquote country scene, but, it's part of what we do. And the other one is kind of more Celtic, actually. So we kind of bounce around everywhere. I think it's kind of hard lumping us in in any sort of scene. But,
sure. That's one of the things that about you, too, that, when people say, well, what is their music like? It is very... individual. I mean, there's no one area you can put them in.
That's one of the big things I really like about what I'm doing personally is like trying to write all these songs because I feel like I'm schizophrenic half the time when I'm writing. So I have like a song like over here and then something comes way out of left field. It's like how the hell am I gonna pull this shit on the same album?
Right.
And we played at this Howl show in Quincy, Illinois on Friday night, and this guy's like, well, what's your music sound like? I'm like, I really don't know how to answer that. And I was like, he actually looked like I made him mad. I felt really bad. I thought I was going to punch in the face. But, yeah.
There's been a lot of, I almost got punched in the face so far. this tour. Like every date. Well, I could have got punched in the face.
We did meet some really nice people though, and I walked the plank today. He did a hell of a job. He did everything he could. It was just a lot of problems with the venues that he works with.
Sure.
But, yeah.
So, what's the difference between you guys on CD and on a live show? I mean, do you think there's a big difference? Maybe just
for this tour, yeah, definitely, because it's just me and Joe. But I'm just kind of trying to make some contacts right now, just meet some people, see where I can play, see what works and what doesn't. So I just wanted to bring out Joe, so we didn't have to ask for too much money. And then I'm planning on touring on my full-length album that I've been talking about for like 2 years, and I want to apologize for that because there's been one problem after another, and I don't really want to get into it right now. I want to get a full band together and tour for like a month, and basically we're just trying to get ready for that.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, so it's a kind of a stripped-down thing. Like, everything's acoustic. Some of the songs, we reworked them, and yeah.
Right, because, you know, like on Texas Horror Pleaser, you know, there is a lot of like the distortion and all the different kinds of, you know, extra stuff on top of it, which you can't recreate, you know, on a live show.
Two people especially.
Right. So, but I just wanted to tell you guys, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show. I am really happy you guys are in Pekin, Illinois.
I would have never known about this place if you hadn't told me, so.
It's my new second home.
Yeah.
And I want to tell everybody, you know, to me it's kind of like a personal concert venue. I'm like, you know, all the bands that I really dig, and we've known each other for 3 years, basically, and we've talked a lot over those 3 years, and to be able to kind of be sitting in the same room is pretty cool, and it just kind of shows you how music can bring people from all over together, and you know, definitely, it's really awesome. So
yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah,
no, thank you, guys, and looking forward to the show tonight, and we'll let you get off here, and we're gonna play a song from the Perez Farm from the new album. Do we have a name for the new album?
Yeah, it's going to be called Something and Something Else.
Something and Something Else.
Couldn't think of anything better.
All right, kid. And it's called Brother's Keeper. Do you have a segue into it, or kind of what the song's about? Or
It's just another song about the Lord and questioning Him. So.
All right. Well, guys, again, thank you very much, and have a great show tonight.
Cool. Thanks, you. Man.
from your hands.
All right, folks, we're back. Sorry. Hairball.
You got a pubic hair in your throat?
My nose hair is growing so long that it's going down my throat. No. We just got done here in Brother's Keeper, and that's by the Perez Farm. Joe Perez, I met him. Again, he played with Slack Eyed Slim, and really great guys. And so I'm anxious to see that album finally get released here pretty soon, and it was a pleasure meeting the guys. So in Uncle Bubba's absence, Joan, you are going to do fan feedback. Are you prepared?
Yes.
Are you confident?
I'm always confident right before sex. I mean,
right before fan feedback?
Right before fan feedback.
Right.
Not the penthouse forum reading.
Tonight you're like, you and your wife are cuddling up. You're like, hey, you want a little fan feedback?
That's right.
You got to quit talking to those podcasters.
Yeah, she thinks we're all an evil lot.
We are. We are, though. She's probably the smartest person in the world then, because we are evil.
Oh, shit.
All right, so what we got for some fan feedback? That's not too much today, but...
On the first one, Dear Blake and Mr. and Mrs. Bubba, excellent show, great stuffs, as always. I'm giving all three of you holler passes. You are now honorary K-Billies. Much love and respect from Jason Sill.
Oh, yeah, Slate Dump.
And Hellbilly D put in, there would not be life as we know it without It Burns When I Pee. The open forum basis allows raw creative freedom, and it's fucking sick. Or rather, it's F apostrophe apostrophe K-I-N sick.
It was beep. And right. We're trying to censor the show. Joey, and, huh?
Why?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like I'm going to go to hell eventually. I don't know.
Well, you know, I was always told that I was on the bus to hell, and I said, if I'm on the bus to hell, I better be getting roadhead.
Nice. I'm like, it's going to be hot down there. Well, thank you for doing the fan feedback. You did a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
It's like you've been doing this for years.
Not really.
We might be able to extend your contract.
Oh, awesome. Well, you might want to wait and see what kind of responses you get from this show. Hopefully you won't lose any listeners.
Right. Okay, so we have gotten some updates. IBWIP had a little facelift. We have all new host bios with pictures, except for mine. I left mine. I don't know why. There's a new about section. There's a new staff tab that has Encyclopedia Billy and Diva Dave on it. And we got new contact information. Everybody's got email addresses. And there's also hyperlinks. And I am definitely going to have to get your show. I'm not sure if I have a hyperlink. I think I have a hyperlink just to your regular Facebook. So I'll have to change that up a little bit.
Okay.
So definitely check out IBWIP.com. As always, we have the Cocker's Travels blog. And we want folks to check that out. And this is a nice site to go to. To listen to the show.
It is.
Well, thank you.
As if you needed me to say that.
Oh, but it's better when somebody else says it. You know what I mean? Like if I said, you. It's a hell of a website. You'd be like, hey, what an asshole. Not only does he stroke himself, he strokes his ego as well.
That's right. Oh, wow.
So what's next on the list here?
Birthday.
Birthday?
Yes. Happy birthday to Nicole Christie, which will be August 30th.
And we want to remind everybody to send us their birthdays so we can give them special shouts out, kind of like the Donahue show. So speaking of Nicole Christie, her and her husband BJ have been longtime dedicated fans, and they recently had Cocker, our roaming rooster, so to speak.
Yes.
He's traveled over 2,000 miles already.
Wow.
Yes. And Joey's on the list to get him, so I'm sure that Cocker's going to be bloody all over everywhere.
Especially if he hangs out with me in the back seat of a 1967.
I can just see him with like a CB next to him and just blood everywhere.
That's right.
He's going to be indicted for something. I just know it. That's right. So we're getting fancy here with Skype by doing the show here with Joey from all the way from Virginia, correct? West Virginia.
No, it's Virginia.
Virginia.
Roanoke, Virginia, to be exact. Star City of the South. They call it that because we got a big neon star up on Mill Mountain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's...
What is it for? Just...
I think it's some bullshit history that we're some kind of sister city with some Korean city, and they've got a star, too. I don't understand it.
The latitude and longitude all match up or something.
Fuck, I don't know. It was a good place to go up and drink beer before they started cracking down on that shit. But they've really cracked down the parkways up there, because I remember it was a great place, you know, when you were a kid in high school. You didn't go pay for a motel room. You just drove up to one of the overlooks and crawled in the back seat.
Nice.
I'm a 67 Plymouth Valiant.
Right. Like, a lot of Joey's stories tonight have to do with the backseat of a car.
Not all of them. I do have another one that does not involve a car.
Oh, well, we'll do that one on the next segment then.
Okay.
Joey's sexual history on IBWIP. Okay, well, let's see if we can use modern technology and call Nicole and BJ on Skype. And
let's do it.
We'll be, see here. I don't hear anything ringing. Oh, can you hear that?
Yes.
Modern technology. I'm impressed with myself. But am I calling the right number? It's possible.
Hello?
I'm not calling the right number. Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
This is Nicole.
Well, hello. It is Blake from It Burns My P, along with Joey Fuckup.
Hello.
Yo, what's up? Hello, Mr. Fuckup.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I know it's a few days away, but thanks for the early birthday.
But we'll be releasing it on the 27th, so it's only actually 3 days ahead of time.
Oh.
You got to think into the future. You got to go back into the future.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
She seems convinced.
Yeah, she's like, whatever, Blake. You never say anything that makes sense. So, you know, we wanted to first wish you a happy birthday. And
well,
we would be happy to provide Spanx if you'd like.
I would love Spanx from the both of you.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Buzzing.
At the same time, or?
That would be fine. I don't know how BJ would feel about that. But.
Hey, BJ and Joey just can't look me in the eye because it'll freak me out.
Yeah, no high-fiving or anything.
Right. Nicole's like, wow, I really shouldn't answer the phone. So, recently, you and your Amish husband, BJ, took care of our friend Cocker for...
Oh, he was such a delight.
And let me just say that you guys really started the steamrolling of, like, putting a whole story together and you know, going with, you know, a whole theme and stuff. And I thought that was kick-ass.
Well, thank you. We just thought it would be fun to do something, like, different. You know, everybody was doing just, like, random photos, and then Lisa did her little love photos with them. And
those were nice, too.
What's that? Oh, yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. So we're just like, oh, let's just make it fun, you know. So we just took them to all different places, and... Like I said in the photos, he arrived the day we were leaving for vacation, so we're just like, well, let's take him to the beach.
Nice. Cock on the beach. Isn't that the best?
Oh, yes. It's a little rough with the sand, though.
Joey prefers cock in the back seat. We here at Burnstone IP prefer cock on the beach. That came out wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, but that's all right. I understand.
So kind of go through with some of these pictures. Like, okay, so he shows up the day you leave to go to the beach. What beach did you go to?
We went to Assateague Beach, which is right near Ocean City, Maryland beaches. So where the Assateague Beach is, they have, like, wild ponies and stuff like that.
That's what she called me, was a wild pony.
So It wasn't as crowded there as it was on the actual main beaches. So.
Was there anybody topless?
No topless beaches. We're in America, dude.
I know. A guy can dream, though.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start in a Burns When I Pee nudist camp.
That would be fun.
A traveling show.
Yeah, traveling nudist camp.
Yes.
I always have such great ideas. It's going to be kind of hard raising money for that. So, you got and you had a little problem on your way to the beach.
Yeah, that sucked ass. It was all Cocker's fault. It was he added extra weight to the vehicle, and, you know, the tire blew.
Now, that wasn't just like, oh, I ran over a nail or a piece of glass. Like, that was like the whole, it was like some Amish people came to your house and knifed your tire.
Well, the funny thing was, we were actually listening to the Burns When I Pee last episode. We downloaded it at my mom's house before we left to go to the beach.
Aw.
Yeah, it was really weird how it worked out.
So it probably was our bad karma that did that. It probably was. You had, like, if you were just listening to the episode, it wouldn't have happened. But you were listening to the episode and you had Cocker, and God was like, these guys are like a double sinning. I got to take care of this.
It might have been. Thanks, Blake.
I know. I'll buy you a new tire.
Okay.
So if you would just donate some money to the show, I would be happy to donate you a tire.
Well, we'll see about that. But anyway, like I said, we were listening to A Burns When I Pee, and all of a sudden I heard this weird noise, and I looked in the side mirror, and the wheel was just wobbling. And I'm like, oh, shit, BJ, pull over. And he looked at me like, what? I was like, pull over. So he pulled over, and he said, what's wrong? I hopped out of the truck, and I said, I think there's something wrong with the tire. And I got out, and I said, yep, it's flat. And like I said, it was flat as a pancake. BJ got out. He said, fuck, God damn it, bullshit, this sucks. And he walked. No sooner did he walk around to our side of the vehicle, my side of the vehicle, it just went and split right open. I was like, holy shit, I'm so glad we pulled over.
Yeah.
So
well,
then...
That was
like
Cocker's first brush with danger then.
Yeah.
His life, he could have died.
But would have all burned up in flames.
So what is his condition, as like when you got him, what is his condition right now? He has traveled over 2,000 miles. How is he looking? Is he looking a little rugged? Is he looking a little chipped? How's he looking?
He was looking a little rough towards the end. I think he suffered a previous injury before he got here, and the day before we gave him the billy, his little tail feather fell off again.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I had to fix him. I hot glued him.
I bet you did. Is that what you call BJ's sperm, is hot glue?
I don't know if I can answer that one.
Right. Okay. Well, let's. If you is BJ readily available?
Yeah. Well, I also want to tell you, I also touched him up a little bit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. After I fixed his little tail, I touched up his tail with some of my paints, and you know he was looking fresh and new to go to Billy.
Wow. So you guys took really good care of him. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. And I actually left a note that was from Cocker, and it has this little paw print on the note saying to be careful with my tail and, you know, handle me with care.
Awesome. See, it's always good to have a woman's touch when you have a traveling cock. It's always good to have a woman's touch.
I don't think you want to send it to me, Blake.
I told Joey that I can just see that Cocker would get in a lot of trouble with him. He would definitely get drunk within like the first 10 minutes of being there.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, like I was reading on his post yesterday, he was talking about chips and salsa and just, well, no, wait, he was eating popcorn yesterday and drinking cheap beer. And yes. then they brought up the salsa thing, and I just had to chime in there with our salsa that we have here. So I had to rub it in a little bit. Sorry, Joey.
No, that's okay. I was hoping you was going to send me some.
I still can.
Awesome.
But it might cost you a little bit.
Aren't spankings enough? Lord. No. All right. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to get with BJ a little bit before we head out of here and kind of talk to him for a few minutes. But I wanted to wish you another happy birthday and thank you for much for your tender, loving care that you and for your friendship. And I really appreciate it.
Well, I thank you. And I'll get BJ for you. Hold
thank
on.
You. Have you ever heard a girl say, I'll get BJ for you?
Oh. Oh, there I am.
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. What's going on?
Well, we had to make an excuse to call your wife and wish her happy birthday. We offered her spankings. I hope you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Okay. I told Joey that we just can't, the three of us can't look each other in the eye.
That's perfectly fine.
Because
I totally agree with that. You don't want to look one another in the eye. That makes it all weird then.
Because then I think it borderlines gay then. You know, you're fine until you look another man in the eyes when you're naked. That's when it all goes downhill.
Yeah, that's true.
So we were talking about Cocker, and I didn't realize how much tender loving care Nicole had provided him before shipping him off to Billy. But, you know, we talked a little bit about going to the beach and about the accident with the tire.
Yeah.
We're saying that most likely, you know, that was God's way of telling you that you shouldn't have been listening to a Burnside IP and having Cocker in the car at the same time.
Yeah, we on the way home, we were almost afraid to do both at the same time again, but we tried it, and it worked.
So you took him to a very historic place.
Yes.
And why don't you tell
him to Gettysburg.
Gettysburg. And what happened in Gettysburg?
It was a battle during the Civil War.
Well, I know that. I'm just
okay.
There are some folks that listen to this show that are very slow. I'm just, you know. So
I understand.
Did you have to pay for him to get in?
No.
They let Cock in free.
Yep, they let the Cock in for free.
Right, and you had three gentlemen take a picture with him. Who are those gentlemen?
Those guys were a regiment, reenactors of a regiment of North Carolina troops, I believe. They were they had their little setup there, like a little encampment, and had, you know, were giving demonstrations and stuff. And we seen them there. We pulled in real quick, and Nicole got out and asked them if they wouldn't mind taking a picture with him.
Did they kind of look at her?
Yeah, they were going to try to hold him for ransom too.
Oh, then you would have had to go. Then you would have had to go all Amish on him. Knock him
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I would have had to bust out some Amish caps on their ass. The buggy bike.
Oh well, so he's being cultured. He's not just partying the whole time. I mean, he went to a historical site, and you know, so he's getting some education while he's on the road.
Yes, and believe it or not, people kind of frown on taking a chicken to a historical site.
Really?
We got all kinds of bad luck when we were there.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody,
trying to give them some education.
Right, everybody's prejudiced. Even the cocks need to be smart.
Yeah.
My cock's been stupid for a long time, and look where it's gotten me.
So has mine.
So I have one more question, and you kind of started the new trend, but you actually, if you haven't seen the blog or if you haven't seen the pictures, they also took him bowling, which I thought was awesome. But I was kind of scared for your children because I can see where it would be very frightening to wake up with a rooster over your shoulder. Can you kind of explain how that came about?
Well, I got home from work the day that he came, and we were all excited. We were like, the package is here. Cocker's here. So my son was still sleeping, and we figured, well, let's start the pictures off, and we woke him up with the Cocker.
and now he's going to be branded for life.
Yeah. Yeah, waking up with a cock on his shoulder.
So has he had a lot of rooster nightmares since then, or is he doing okay?
Yeah, he adjusted just fine. It took a couple hours of psychiatric care, but after that we got him, you know, straightened out.
Awesome. Well,
but with me and Nicole's parents, I mean, he's going to have a lot of psychiatric care as an adult.
Right, so you're kind of warming him up for it.
Yeah.
You're like, this is the process you go through. When you're 18, we're going to ask you why you feel the way you do. You'll be like, because my dad woke me up with a huge rooster. And all went to hell in a handbasket from there.
Yep.
But I appreciate your time. I want to, you know, thank you for being such a great friend and a fan of the show, and for taking the time to play along with our little cocker game, and we really do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Blake. Anytime.
All right, brother. Will you take it easy? We're gonna try to get this show wrapped up and put it on the books.
All right. Well, you guys have fun.
All right. Take care.
See you, BJ.
Yep, bye.
All right, folks. Well, it looks like we're done there. Look at that, Joey. Modern technology.
It worked.
It was. We talked to you in Virginia, and someone in Maryland, and me in Peoria, Illinois.
I don't know. This is just...
It's baffling.
We can go really far with this concept.
How far can we go? I don't know how far we can go, because I had to pay for Skype credits, and they don't tell you how much they're worth. They just say, hey, you're buying $10 worth. So, I don't know.
Well, we've got the ability of going with the webcams, too, right?
Oh, I think so. I don't know where mine is. I think my roommates took it away from me because they caught me doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's get into another song. And we have, you know, we always do requests. And so Joey's going to intro a special request here we had.
I am?
Oh, okay. We're going to listen to...
Is this the U.S. Bomb song?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I dropped the ball net.
The ball net? The ball net? The ball net?
I actually do like U.S. Bombs. I really do.
Well, we were told that, you know, we got a lot of flack for playing the rap songs on each episode. We've been playing hair bands lately. And so... one of our listeners, Ian, wanted to hear a punk song, and I'm not really an aficionado, so to speak.
Uh huh.
So he sent us the U.S. Bombs in this song, Isolated Ones.
Isolated Ones, yes.
So
it's good.
We're gonna check it out, and we'll be back with the last segment. And Joey, just you're doing an outstanding job.
Yeah, right.
We'll be right back. folks, the final segment of episode 44, Riding the Short Bus. Joey, do you feel like you've ridden the short bus tonight? I think you've done a splendid job, mostly on such short notice.
Yeah, on such short notice, sure. I feel a little stale. It just feels weird doing something like this without having a six-pack sitting here by my feet.
Well, it's good for you. It's good for you because now you can put on your resume that you can do it sloppy drunk or completely sober.
True. Right. True. Plus, my liver, I think, needs a little break.
Right. You woke up next to it crying.
Huh? Yeah.
So we were telling stories throughout the show here about our school days, and so why don't you give us another story that's less bloody?
Yeah, there's no blood involved in
this
one. Okay,
all right, well then go ahead.
When I was in the 10th grade, I used to take a lot of weed. I mean, I was like, when you watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I was like one of those Spicoli type guys, believe it or not. And, always walking around carrying Visine in my jean jacket pocket. And because I was always getting high during school, before school, after school. So I think it was on Christmas break, I think. This would have been 85, 86. And there was this guy that lived in the neighborhood. He was kind of a sketchy character, but he always had weed. I mean, he would have, like, just bags of this shit. So he was a good person to know, so I became friends with him and his girlfriend. And anyway, so me and this other guy go to his apartment one day. So we're all sitting around the living room. You know, it's a typical, you know, pot smoker's dream. I mean, it's just thick smoke. We're listening to music. Everybody's just getting
really
fucked up. What's that?
Were you listening to Pink Floyd?
I don't think it was Floyd. I think we were listening to The Doors or something.
Oh, okay. That would have been my second choice.
And so there was a knock on the door. And, of course, everybody just kind of just shits, you know, their pants. And, you know, they just this persistent knocking. So everybody's run up. They're grabbing their weed. They're grabbing the bongs, the bowls. I mean, just, you know, toilets are flushing, you know, all this other shit. So this guy, I'm not going to name him, of course, but he opens the door. And there's a guy standing there in a fucking tie and a briefcase. And he just says, "Hold on a minute." And, I mean, smoke's just rolling out of this apartment. So he slams the door in the guy's face. We're all running around. We don't know what the fuck to do because we're three stories up in this apartment complex. Because I go towards the back. I'm thinking maybe I could try to jump or scale or do something, but I'm just too fucked up to even.
Your superhuman powers.
That's right. I can't even think logically. So
I've got superhuman pot powers.
So me and this buddy of mine, we go into the closet in the back bedroom where, like, the air conditioning unit is and the pipes and shit, and we're climbing up in this shit, and I hear the guy that lived there in the apartment, I just hear him holler, "Hold on, motherfucker," because the guy would not stop fucking knocking on the door. And by this time, like, all the weed's gone. I mean, there's just no evidence of it. So I'm in the closet, and I'm laughing myself to tears. I'm scared to death because I know it's a friggin' FBI agent or DEA guy or ATF or somebody at the fucking door. So when my friend finally has maintained some order in the apartment, he goes to the door, and it turns out it was a deaf Bible salesman. So all the weed's been flushed down the commode and everything, and this guy couldn't hear anything. He just kept knocking. He knew somebody was there, and, you know.
Hey, you got a Bible?
I thought I was probably going to have a heart attack that day.
Wow. So that was your brush with the law.
Not really. The Bible law. Not the law, but it's I thought it was. My God, I thought I was going to wait for forever.
Well, when you're in those kind of situations, it's not like you can go. It's not like you can investigate. Oh, it's just somebody that's really in a hurry. You know, like,
right?
You can't figure, you can't wait to find out what's on the other side of the door. You got to take care of whatever you got to do. You know, based off of what that normally means. So,
exactly. And but yeah, that was. I still look back at that story and still laugh about it.
That would be,
you know, because that's kind of thing like you see in a movie or a TV show. You know, and I think Cheech and Chong's even done the same type of joke where it's like, you know, knock on the door and, you know, everybody freaks and they're flushing the weed down the commode and all that. So I actually can say I lived it.
There you
lived
go.
Those situations, yes. Another misadventure of Joey Fuck Up.
We should do a whole show just with your stories.
Oh, God. I don't know. People might think I was making them up.
That's what happens to me a lot. I'll tell a story and people will be like,
it really did happen.
No, it didn't. Yeah, really, it did. I got caught with a porno magazine in first grade. Ask my roommate. No.
Well, see, the great thing is now there's Facebook, so it's, you know, you can post a lot of stories on there and see what happens. Usually you get a lot of thumbs up.
Right. In my opinion, if somebody pushes the like button on your Facebook, that means they're just too lazy to make a comment. Like, they like what you're saying, but, like, instead of just typing something out, they're just too lazy, and they just put, I like that. You know, you're like, I'm three sheets to the wind and about ready to record the next episode. And they're like, you know, like you're drunk and you're drunk and you're setting everything up, but you have the time to write the whole, you know, status out. But they're just sitting there at home going, I'm playing Bejewel. I'm just going to write, I like that a lot. Like,
yeah.
So, okay. So I got one more school story and, I was in fifth grade, and we had a teacher. I can't name her name because that would be, you know, I've already gotten in trouble one time for using somebody's real name, so I'm learning my lesson. But I'm in fifth grade. I have this middle-aged blonde teacher, very nice figure. And the face wasn't much to look at, and she had a really bad, stinky cigarette breath. Like, it was awful. But she used to wear these white slacks, like creamy, kind of cream white, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Dress pants. And she had white Playboy underwear with a black Playboy bunny on it. And it seemed like she, every time she wore these white pants, she wore these underwear. So, like, you know, you're sitting at your desk, you know, and you're, like, trying to do your workbook. And, like, she would come up beside you and kind of, like, bend over, like looking at your paper, and like you're at fifth grade, you know, it's your hip level, you know, your eye level is like right where her hip is,
yeah.
And like, here's this Playboy bunny, and I just thought to myself, and you know, if it happened just one time, I'm like, I can understand, like, you're in a hurry and you don't have any other clean underwear or something, and then, you know, throughout the day you go, ooh, look, you know, I probably shouldn't have wore these, but she wore them all the time.
God.
And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, even at a young age like that, I'm like, that's just not right.
Well, you know, she could have been one of those teachers that you read about now that has sex with her students.
Right. Now, why that never happened. That it never even came close to. I don't think I ever had a teacher that I would want that to happen. Did you ever have one of those teachers that was hot enough to where you would want that to happen?
It wasn't like a regular teacher, but it was always like the student teachers. The
right.
Ones that were, yeah, those were always like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I wonder how that comes about. Like, I wonder how it comes about. Like, a teacher's like, you know, because you would think that there has to be some kind of, it has to be initiated some way, and I'm sure 90% of the time it's not the kid. Because I mean, when I was in grade school or high school or whatever, I don't think I would have gone up to a teacher and be like, "Hey, you want to do it?" You know what I mean? I wonder how that's initiated.
I don't know, but, you know, most of those stories, you know, the teacher gets exposed because the student can't handle it.
Right.
But the thing is, it's never, you never hear about usually the girl students blowing the whistle on the guy teachers. It's always the guy students blowing the whistle on the girl teachers.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I don't know, I just don't understand that. If I was tapping a well like that, I would keep that shit to myself and keep revisiting the well, you know?
Exactly.
I wouldn't just start crying to the press and say, you know, all this or another. You know, there was a story here recently, actually happened here in my hometown. This really dorky college student, mind you, and he was getting it on with a teacher, and he couldn't handle it, and he felt like he was being violated, so he told on her, and now this really nice, fine-looking woman's now going to do some prison time just because Johnny Dorquad couldn't handle a good piece of ass.
Right.
I just don't get it.
I would have died for that situation when I was younger.
That's actually one thing I've never done, is had sex with a teacher.
I don't think so either.
Moms. That's another story I won't talk about.
Yeah, that's for the 50th episode. I'll say that. So let's see what we got coming up here. Okay, so this is kind of the part of the show, Joey, where we kind of go through what's going on with, you know, IBWIP and what's going on with the show. we have something in common here, and this is good that we can both plug this, but we were both recently interviewed on Dogwater Radio for an episode that's going to be released here real soon.
I can't wait. I can't wait for that one because I want to hear your interview and Donnie's, and I don't really know the Tim Pop guy too well, but either way, I think it's going to be a really good show. I felt kind of bad because I had those guys online for, I swear, probably 45 minutes because we just kept talking about all kinds of shit. I mean, everything from drinking and Howard the Duck, and I mean, just a lot of crazy shit came up in the conversation. So,
so your interview is going to be pretty, like, from one thing to the next kind of thing. Very, a lot of different avenues.
Yeah, I think we even talked about testicular cancer at one point, I think.
Nice.
I was pretty well loaded. I had already, I'd killed a Four Loko and a 40-ounce Miller High Life, so.
Well, I love Dog Bite Harris. He's a great musician, and I'm actually going to see him here in early September. And so it was kind of an honor. I kind of felt cool being asked to be interviewed. Didn't you?
I did. I was actually a replacement because Chris Miller was asked to be on at first, but he's currently serving a 10-day sentence in a Spokane jail. Mm. So then he asked me to do it because he had heard the interview I had done on Blue Ribbon Radio, which I felt honored to do that because Chris never did interviews before, and we were just kind of – I was sitting around one day in front of the computer hammering some beer, and you know, he's like, I'm thinking about doing interviews. And I said, well – and I was just halfway fucking with him, and I said, well, I'll do your first interview, you know, because I was just in that mindset, like I can talk to anybody at this point.
Right.
And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. So, and it was cool, though. It cool. was, I really enjoyed doing that.
It's nice to see these young guys coming out and podcasting and, you know, and then giving homage to us godfathers.
I don't know if you'd call me a godfather. I think I'm the bad drunk uncle.
the bad drunk uncle that you don't leave the kids with and they're alone in the room.
That you don't invite to the Christmas get-togethers.
Because you know he's going to say something about your aunt.
Right.
So like I said, I'm going to see Dog Bite Harris here on the 12th of September and hopefully do an interview. I'm also going to see Rachel Brooke and Jake Orbis. They're going to play a show on the 24th. They're kind of doing that little mini tour thing for Jake's independent record. He's got his solo record, and then Rachel's got a new record coming out too.
Oh, wow.
So,
cool.
It never hurts to see Rachel. It's never a difficult situation to get through, you know? Except I'm just like, oh, all the time. We're looking to release episode 45 on September 30th, which is going to be a Thursday. I'm going to throw everybody off. We've always released them on Fridays, so I'm going to throw everybody off next month and release it on Thursday.
Oh.
And looks like we got about two more months until our annual Halloween extravaganza, which we might have a surprise. And me and Uncle Bubba, we're going to talk about this. He's not here tonight. But we're actually awaiting approval from a specific organization to do our show from their facility.
Oh wow!
So I didn't want to give it away, but so we're looking for. I try to be as generic as possible. So we hopefully have something coming up that's pretty special. So that's kind of what we got going on with the Burns and IP. What do you have going on with Cheap Beer and Barbecue?
Well, number 7 just got released this morning. Actually, and God, man, it was a lot of country clubs last night. But right now, that's just releasing the shows. It's been getting a lot more exposure, especially on Facebook. That's what I love about Facebook because it's really so good and easy to promote it over there.
Right.
And with the website, websites all the time getting new stuff put on there, getting a facelift, trying to keep it fresh and new. So when people go back, they kind of get stimulated. If that's what you want to call it.
There's a couple sites I go to for that as well.
Yeah, our little cartoon honeys on there. I think they might stimulate some of the
who does that? Who does that artwork for you?
She's a good friend of mine, Marty Coward Jackson.
Awesome.
She's the one putting on Trashorama this year, and has put them on in years past. And she's got some really cool connections. One of her uncles is Cowboy Coward from Deliverance. Okay. Remember him? He's the toothless guy.
Yeah. From
him, and she was related to Popcorn Sutton, the famous moonshiner.
Okay.
That did an interview not too long ago with Johnny Knoxville.
Right.
And he's got a documentary about him out now.
Didn't he just he ended up committing suicide, didn't he, I think?
Yes. He was looking to go away for a long time. Basically, pretty much die in prison. He think he was diagnosed with cancer and said he wasn't going to die in prison. So he took care of that himself.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, but, yeah, we try to do something, or rather, she comes up with a lot of ideas and keeps it fresh for me. So,
do you guys, how often do you release episodes?
Usually, I try to go about every 3 weeks. I'm trying to do them a little bit sooner. It just depends on, because my personal life is, believe it or not, really hectic. I got kids and work and all this other stuff. So, I try to do one every 2 weeks, but sometimes it's every 3 weeks.
Cool.
So,
well, it's awesome, and you know, we've known each other for a couple years now. I think it seems, and
we have,
and we've done the roundtables together and stuff. So it's pretty awesome.
It's been very cool. I think we got to know each other through when I was doing Hayride to Hell.
Yeah,
doing that show. Yeah, and
you put on more shows. I can never keep up with what you're doing.
This is my fourth show that I'm doing.
Do you just get tired of one kind, or do you just get mad at people, or what? does your drinking get in the way of your podcasting relationships?
Yes, I think I'm the Jim Morrison of podcasting. No, Whiskey and Waterbeds, that was, I just felt like it was time to move on with something.
Sure.
With Hey Ride to Hell, that was something I'd done solo that I launched off of that. And I think I was sometimes doing the shows that I wasn't feeling good about them. I didn't really feel like it was my show, and sometimes you get music from people and you feel obligated to play it because you are trying to promote underground people, and it just seemed like that was kind of clouding my judgment, and the show was kind of moving away from what I had originally perceived it as, you know.
Sure.
I did launch Trailer Park Free Clinic Power Hour, and I like that. I like the mix of rock and roll and stuff that I played, but I don't know. I guess I sort of just lost interest in it, and I went with Cheap Beer and Barbecue because it's something that's a little bit, I don't know, out of left field, a little bit different. And, you know, we're a lot of you guys, you know, you're playing a lot of the new stuff. And I guess I felt like if I play more of the older stuff, it would kind of separate me a little bit. Not because I'm trying to compete with you guys.
Sure.
But
no, but you're giving listeners a different angle.
I am. And, you know, if somebody listens to, you know, three shows and they're playing a lot of the same artists, if by the time they get to me, they might not be tired of hearing that same artist,
right.
I guess you could say.
Right.
So it's but it's really a blast. I'm enjoying the hell out of doing this one. It's the most fun, and with a really bitching website behind me, it's really helped and it's gotten attention.
Cool. That's what you know, we're looking for the music that we're listening to. We just want attention, so people will listen to the music. And you're a funny ass guy. You're a pretty funny guy.
Well, thank you. I don't really consider me that funny. I just kind of, I think that's why I drink, because I have no filter.
We don't have any filter on this show anyway, so.
No, but I'm a little bit more self-conscious, I think, for some weird reason, but.
Well, next time we'll have you on, and you can be three sheets to the wind. How's that?
Just, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
I'll give you a little bit more warning, so that way you can get the alcohol level up.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Cool. I'll know what not to mix and what to mix for the occasion.
There you go. All right, folks. Well, it looks like we're going to end the show. We are going to do the contact information brought to you by
Encyclopedia Billy.
Love Encyclopedia Billy. Taking that job away from us is just wonderful. So. We're going to go ahead and say our goodbyes now, I guess. And then, and Joey, thank you again for being on the show. I appreciate you filling in for the Bubbas.
Thank you for asking me. It's been a pleasure.
To follow in the footsteps of our 80s hair band music, we're going to play Hot for Teacher by Van Halen.
Not Van Hagar, Van Halen.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, we had to find a song that had the school theme. And it's ironic that, you know, we were talking about having sex with your teachers, because Hot for Teacher. See how we brought it all together at the end, Joey?
It is. It's just like one cool-ass little story.
There you go. See, and that's what it's all about. So here is our good friend Encyclopedia Billy with our contact information, followed by Van Halen. Hot for Teacher. Again, Joey Fuckup. Check him out at Cheap Beer and Barbecue. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.
And now, your contact information from the one, the only, Encyclopedia Billy.
Hello out there in Internet land. The folks here at Burns When IP would love to hear from you. There's multiple ways that you can reach them. You can email them, blake@ibwip.com, unclebubba@ibwip.com, or mrsbubba@ibwip.com. You can call them at 206-339-8419. You can check them out on myspace.com/@burnswhenip86. You can go to Facebook and search IBWIP and become a fan. You can go to iTunes. While you're there, give us 5 stars and a review. There's also twitter.com/IBWIPCOM. Or finally, you can find us on the web at www.IBWIP.com. Don't forget to check out the blog while you're there also. Thank you, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Second, man. What do you think the teacher's gonna look like this year?